the most exciting thing you can start a show with.
We're coming live from the 2SER studio.
This is a great show.
Across the park, 2SER.
And just go for a swim, but like deep.
Come on in, meatball.
Testicles.
Pointy at the door.
Gummy normal.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, no worries, I have good footy.
Which part is that? Was
the real problem with that? Bloody.
Never walk alone.
I can stand the prick.
Oh, bloody bird.
Let's not do this.
Oh, the corner injury. She got a corner injury.
Hello, and
without a drink, right?
Across the park. Oh, hello. One of the very few shows on 2SER with that name. We are, of course, your one-stop shop for all things sport. For the next 30 minutes, sit back and listen as we give you the most in-depth and factual sporting news from around the grounds. Lol. Hi there, I'm Joel, and I am the one currently talking. But in a moment, two other voices will be joining me, and they belong to the following. First up is a man who had the idea of putting Snoop Dogg in the menu log ad. It's Mick Rad.
Yeah. We're trying to get him on Across the Park as well, you know.
Oh, that would be good.
A direct line.
Is it legit?
No, he didn't really put Snoop Dogg in the menu log ad.
Okay.
Someone else did. But have you seen the ad? Because Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, it's catchy as hell. It's so good.
Is it though?
It's the best ad.
Have
you seen on the bottom of the ad, it says guest. No,
it says paid actor. Paid actor.
Paid actor.
As if we didn't know. Everyone knows who Snoop is. I'm sure my grandparents know who Snoop is. Hello, there's a little dog. Dog on the screen. I think this could be our first dog.
There's a Snoop dog there.
Oh, look, let me introduce you, T, because this might be confusing to people who haven't heard you in a year. Also joining us is a woman who hasn't appeared on the show since the 16th of August 2019, I think, is Tarina Titan.
Hi. Hey, happy birthday, Joel.
Oh, we're straight into it.
Sorry. That might be why I haven't been on in a year.
Yeah, only come when it's around my birthday.
Contact Joel. Everyone should contact Joel. Yes. Wish him a very happy birthday for yesterday because, yes, he's not very happy about it, it seems. We need to make
it's
him
today.
Happy.
Today. Oh, yesterday.
Yesterday, but yes, yeah, sorry. We recorded yesterday. Day early. Don't ruin it.
The magic of radio. Sorry. I'm more distracted by my Zoom background, to be honest.
Yeah, good to see you, T, and Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams. We have T with a Eurovision background. Have you seen it?
Fire Saga. Yes, of course. I was waiting for it to come up. Like, I was right on when it came up to available to watch. So, yes.
Is it good?
People don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, Eurovision movie on Netflix. It's come out. The story of Volcano Man. It's amazing. I really love Will Ferrell. So anything he does, I usually watch. And Rachel McAdams was actually awesome. Like, she was better in that movie than Will Ferrell. It was awesome.
Her Icelandic accent is amazing. Like, Will doesn't even try. She actually tries.
Nah. I was disappointed that she didn't sing in the movie, though. So they got a different singer to do all of the vocal bits. And I don't know what her real voice is like. Apparently, not that good.
Oh, I think she can sing, but there's a little bit where she does do the singing, and then you hear the lip sync kick in, and you're like, oh yeah, no, that the chick isn't my Narian or something. She's amazing. This is very related to sport, of course, but it's a sport. It's like a sporting competition. Rachel McAdams said that it's big. Eurovision is bigger than Super Bowl. So there's your context.
There we go. It's a sport. It's a singing sport.
I'm going to jump in here because I haven't said anything for a minute, and that's not how I like to run this show. It's weird that this is the first time, because as someone who is I consider myself somewhat of a movie buff, having worked in a video store and whatnot, I haven't seen this, and you guys are talking, and I don't really know what you're talking about, and I don't like it.
Oh, sorry, that's not how you should spend your day after your birthday. Oh.
You guys actually hosted your own little movie show.
We're just taking it over, actually.
We're still going to do it? Have a little... This is now, break.
It's called It's Problematic. T and I do this show where we talk about problematic movies from the 80s. And we haven't done it for a few weeks, but we're coming back. We will be back. But we shouldn't take over this amazing Across the Park show and talk about our own show, Joel.
I'm so happy to be here.
I don't mind. A bit of cross promotion. I love it.
That's kind of you. And well, anyway, no, but sport. Let's be excited that sport is happening.
Well, I don't even want to get into sport just yet. It's still a bit early for that for us. T, we haven't seen you for a really long time. How have you been?
Yeah. Next question.
Okay. Nick, how has T been?
Look, yeah, thanks, Mick. That'll be great. Thank you.
Well, I can tell you, I can tell everyone that T house sat my house a couple of weeks ago when I was in Byron.
Oh, no.
That's right. We got to talk about Byron again.
No.
Yeah, except for
T did an amazing job. No, we're getting there, T. So she did an amazing job, really looked after the place, folded them, put all the washing in the dryer at the end of the stay, looked after the cat amazingly. Pickle was very happy. Did find out on the last day that unfortunately we have a laundry sink where if you use the washing machine and something's in the laundry sink will fill up with water and then spill out into the laundry. And that is exactly what happened to poor T. On the last day...
Wait, I was so gutted.
What was in the sink?
So, well, let me explain. So, the little kitten who is gorgeous, but she isn't.
Oh, I'm sorry for your loss.
She's no. She's naughty.
Okay.
And every day she would go for the pot plant, and I just got to a point where I was annoyed with. I was like, I'm not cleaning up anymore. You won't stop digging out the pot plant. So I put it in the sink. In fact, I didn't even have it in the sink the whole time. Just that day I put it in there, and I went out to take my stuff home, I think. And then I sort of, you know, you have those moments where you pause and you go, should I do that? No, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
And then I come back to a flooded laundry plus. I was like, oh, okay. I'm so gutted. That's never happened. I was gutted.
But it's all
and
good.
I was like, in actual fact, yeah.
In actual fact, anyone who's looked after a house or even myself at one point in time has accidentally clogged the laundry sink and overflowed it. So you're not alone. It's happened to all of us.
There'll be a sign installed, won't there, Mac, for next time. I might have to. Do not put anything anyway. So yes, but it was great, and the kitten is adorable. She is quite naughty though. Hey Mick, she's quite naughty.
Yes, she is. We're not used to having a kitten. We used to have an older cat who would just lounge around, find the sunspot, chill out for the day, not much, do much of anything. And this cat is a lot different to that old cat. So yeah, we're getting used to it too. But
do you know, I didn't tell. Yes.
No, no, you go. You didn't tell me what.
I didn't tell you.
No, I thought I spotted old Pepe down the road, but it's actually another cat that's different colouring but very similar fur. So I'm wondering, I was like, oh my God, I'm also going to find the old cat too. And I waited and I waited and I tried to call. I was like, Pepe, Pepe. And it wasn't. I'm sorry. I was going to be like the ultimate house sitter.
The last time we had someone look after a cat at my house while we went away, they lost the cat. The cat jumped off the balcony and has not returned yet at all. It's very sad, in fact. I've been missing for like 7 months. I now have disowned my parents-in-law because they are never allowed to look after a cat ever again. But... yes, we did get another cat, and we have found a replacement who looks very, very similar to our old cat. So, you know, we're all good. But it would have been amazing, too, if we come back and there was two cats. That would have been awesome.
I think it would have been like, you are the best house sitter in the world if you could have done that. I would have nominated myself for house sitter of the year, I think, if there was such a thing. Just saying. Saying. I was really keen to find him.
Anyway, Joel, you've been very, very quiet. I'm going to talk for another minute.
Yeah, I've gone quiet for another minute. I do want to ask you, Nick.
Yeah, I'm taking over.
T's taking over, yeah.
Sorry.
She hasn't been on for a year. She's got a lot to say.
I haven't been on radio for months. That's the other thing. I do apologize. Months. I'm missing it so much. Yeah.
Got to get you back on air. This won't help.
After this?
Sorry. Yeah, this won't help at all. Now, Mick, was it through the week you were interviewed by the ABC? I noticed you didn't mention Across the Park again. So you got interviewed by a BBC in England, didn't mention Across the Park. You've done it again with the ABC here in Australia. Nothing?
Yeah. So I did. I did get interviewed by BBC before, and I got interviewed by ABC. Now, this wasn't a live interview or anything. It was like a phone thing, and then they wrote an article about it. So you never know. I might have mentioned Across the Park 100 times, but they wrote it out.
They were worried.
Of the article.
They were worried.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't read the article, Mick.
I got to talk about a footy.
What? Oh, okay. You read it? I haven't read it yet.
Okay.
So I thought you had written it, and I was confused. So you were talking about going to the footy? Is that what that was about?
Yeah, because crowds can go back to the football this weekend. Like quarter of the stadium can be filled with people. And yeah, ABC talked to me about that and whether I'd have my tickets yet and how that's going to work and what the club had been telling us and all that jazz. So yeah, it was pretty fun. And I got my photo in this article. I found a pretty good photo. Did you see the photo?
Actually,
Joel?
You know what? Two good photos of you, I thought. The first one with just on the ground there. Was it the same game? Because you are wearing the exact same thing. The second photo.
Well, I'm wearing Parramatta outfit. Actually, it could have been the same game. It was actually the very first game at Bankwest Stadium last year.
No, let's not talk about that game.
We all got loud under the field after the game, and I took a selfie, and it was a very nice selfie. So
it is a good shot. You look very handsome. You're a handsome man, Mick.
So. Oh, thank you, Joel. So immediately after this airs, I'll be at the football on a Friday night watching Parramatta play. I am so bloody excited.
Yay. Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
What's
I want to know
which stadium.
Bankwest, Parramatta.
Oh, that was the other thing I noticed in the article is they kept calling it Parramatta Stadium.
Oh, you know why, though? This is a rule. This is ABC. So ABC aren't allowed to refer to stadiums by their sponsorship name.
There you go.
So in Melbourne, they call it the Melbourne Rectangular Stadium. Very catchy. you'll notice that. ABC do that all the time. And it's not ANZ Stadium. It's Stadium Australia because that's what it used to be called.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to try and hint at it.
Like, is it someone's job to actually go remember what they're called? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, so they've changed names so many times. Someone would need to know what they were originally.
Well, this is the thing. You think every stadium has got like an original name without a sponsor, but pretty much every stadium has a sponsor from the very start, except for Amy Park in Melbourne, which is Melbourne Rectangular Stadium, because it's never had a name other than name Amy Park.
Oh,
there you go. Right. Isn't this interesting?
I mean, it would be easier because you know how many times like the spotless one, what's it now? Like that's changed. That would, what would that be called? Because that was always one too, wasn't it?
Sydney Showground. So
out at Olympic Park, so not
the one where they
play, the Giants play?
Because that's,
Sydney Showgrounds.
Yeah.
Ah, now I know.
I can tell you the original name of every stadium if you want. That's like a
Let's
little
do
game.
Oh like I don't.
Okay. Timon,
well,
go.
Like that,
that was an easy one.
Birchgrove Oval.
Which one?
No, I was being
Marvel
cheeky.
Stadium.
Ooh, yeah.
Wait, where is that?
Marvel's down in Melbourne.
Melbourne, oh, it's right next to the station. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Docklands.
Docklands, okay.
What about the Adelaide one?
Adelaide Oval.
Adelaide Oval?
Sponsored by Adelaide.
So, you know, Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane is called Lang Park because we all know it as Lang Park anyway. Like Central Coast Stadium, I think it's called something else. Yeah, they've all got like other names. I don't know. Maybe I should be working at the ABC.
Maybe you should. What? No, hang on. As he recalls from SBS. What about the one the Cowboys now use in the rugby league?
Oh, Dairy Farmer Stadium.
Yeah, but it's not that anymore, is it? Isn't it a new name? 1300 Smiles or something? Or did they change that again? Because they knocked it down, right, and rebuilt it. We're going to talk about NRL because we've already started. Let's get into it. Last weekend, so much happened. The Broncos seem to be going from bad to worse. They've lost 5 games in a row. They lost to the Titans 30-12. They were booed off at halftime by the very small crowd.
By the tiniest crowd.
But again, I mean, that's the crowd that's allowed. There was a joke that went around of that Boo Earns, and it was Darius Boyd asking Anthony Seibold if they're saying, are they saying Boo? And he's like, no, they're saying Boo-oid, Boo-oid. Great. Whoever made that up is very funny. We should have them on the show. 5 losses in a row, booed off at halftime. Brisbane are in a lot of trouble. If not for the Dogs.
I saw a meme that said 2020, if 2020 was an NRL team, and then that was a picture of the Broncos.
Ooh, that is brutal.
If not for the Bulldogs, they would be sitting last. This is a club that had been huge for so many years. All of a sudden, are just looking awful. No one is afraid to play them. Going to Suncorp is not scary anymore. Crazy. Will the coach go, Mick? What do you think?
Well, he had this press conference. I think we talked about the press conference where he's like, I think I'm the man for the job. But he wasn't very convincing. Even in the press conference where they're asking him, is your job safe? He's like, I think so. But as we know, coaches are like revolving doors around the NRL. So will he last the year? I think if the Broncos don't improve, he'll be out at the end of the year.
I think
but
so.
They'll give him the rest of the year. Yeah.
The Warriors a week after sacking the Warriors sacked their coach and then were hammered 50-6 by the Storm. Now my brother is a massive Melbourne fan, huge Melbourne fan, and even he couldn't disown you. Sorry,
haven't you disowned your brother yet? How can he be a Storm fan? What's going on there?
He's allowed to be a Storm fan. He's very passionate about his football. And, yeah, I spoke to him through the game. I'm like, Kyle, you're not watching the game anymore? He's like, nah, man, I just feel so sorry for New Zealand. He couldn't even watch. Like, that's the point it's getting to. People feel so sorry for New Zealand because
hey,
I know you're a New Zealander.
We played a near-perfect game 2 months ago.
A few weeks ago, New Zealand really played a fantastic game and then have done nothing since and did nothing before that.
It's because they're having to live in Gosford, mate. Come on.
I know. Oh, look, I don't blame them. That's tough for anyone.
sorry to all Gosford listeners.
I know. Sorry. Mate, Gosford's a beautiful part of the world.
Kiwi Warriors tea. Sorry, Joel.
Because I am a Warriors fan. But
And you're stuck in Australia too, GT, or you've chosen to be stuck in Australia. How do you think the Warriors are going to get so used to staying here? They're just going to stay like you?
I wonder if it would make... I mean, the results haven't shown it, but I wonder if it would be better for them to just be here. I mean, all the travel, the extra travel you have to have just by being over there, it would make more sense, right?
Are you saying relocate the New Zealand Warriors to Australia and make the New Zealand Warriors an Australian team but actually live here but be called the New Zealand Warriors?
Yes, I am.
I know that they have to travel to another country. I understand that, but it's really not that far. You know, Melbourne have to travel and the Queensland, everyone has to travel, but I understand it is.
I mean, it's further to go to Perth, isn't it? But do we go there anymore?
We don't have any Perth teams in the NRL.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's some benefit to, I think, to being like just, yeah, I think that's it. Relocate the New Zealand team to Australia.
Well, here's the thing. They're saying...
To Gosford, not to Gosford. It's not working for them, no.
The Gosford Warriors.
As soon as I found out about that they were going to be in Gosford, I was like, I don't think this lockdown's going to work very well.
Some of the players have said, they've said to the NRL, if their families can't come over in the next 3 weeks, some of them will go home. That's sort of thrown out an ultimatum.
We're waiting. We're waiting for someone in the NRL.
How can they know? Corona.
Well, I don't know. It's very difficult. It's and the thing is, the NRL like can't control that. It's up to the governments of two countries. You know what I mean?
That's right. I just put my microphone in my wine. Yep. No, that's what just.
No, happens. Go for it. Go for it. Mick, we've already spoken about Bankwest Stadium, but I just wanted to mention as well. A few players have been injured while playing there. I think they've laid new turf this week.
Yeah, like they've gone out. Everyone's complained. It's been a lot of games played there, and they've decided to just relay the bloody stadium. Fresh tomorrow night, not tonight. Parramatta playing on fresh
turf. Amazing. That would be awesome. Have we not talked about the fact that Parramatta's at the top of the table? Like, how has that not been?
I think we've mentioned it once.
Once or twice or three times or 10 times. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Go on, Mick.
I've got to say.
Being on top of the ladder because we're on top of the ladder and we had an amazing win against the Raiders last week. 1-point victory. They always beat us in golden points. So it was good to get them back. Bloody King Guffo after we lost our halfback. Well, I could go on, Key, if you really wanted to bring it up. I could talk about half an hour about
Palmer. Well, I just want to say thank you to you, Mick. I got an extra trivia point last night because I knew it because of you. Thank you.
Oh, yes. You owe me a drink.
Sure. You and your Parramatta Eels trivia has really paid off for us, just want to say.
Perfect. I'm good for something.
Speaking of teams being stranded, Melbourne are now possibly going to be stuck in Queensland for the rest of the season, or at least they think they might be.
It's an upgrade. It's an upgrade. Place they come from.
Oh, what? Whoa.
Yeah, that's huge.
Dog. I mean, you want to be in Melbourne right now. Like, bloody hell. You'd rather be in Queensland any time of the day. Any time of the year, bloody hell.
I haven't frozen on screen. I'm in shock. I can't believe you said that. That is a huge call. Huge call. All right, Melbourne hasn't done so well right now, but generally, still most livable city, right?
Oh, whatever. Whatever. Now, Byron Bay.
I'm going to call this across Byron Bay because that's all we ever talk about anymore. Also, quickly, Manly.
Just go back, Mick. Just go back. I'll take pickle. It's fine. I can plunge in laundry a few more times.
Excellent.
In soccer, we're a little late, obviously, to the party. And everyone, I'm sure, knows this by now. Yeah. But Australia and New Zealand are hosting the 2023 Women's World Cup.
How did you not talk about this last week?
Because it happened Friday morning and we recorded Thursday night.
I think you could have called it. We said, we're going to get it. Yeah.
We called it and we clapped and we were very excited in the hope that it would happen and it did. So I guess we were first.
Amazing.
But we're also.
We were totally first.
We're also quite far behind.
You were before the actual announcement. Well done.
Yeah.
Oh, can I just say, y'all, that related to that topic, I was on Friday Drive on 2SER last week, and on Friday Drive I spruced across the park heaps, and I talked about the Women's World Cup winning, and I did do talk about us there. So I just want you to know that I have spruced us, our show.
Huh? You've said it 20 minutes too late.
Yeah, I'm not sure you have. Very much. I'm not sure you have quite the reach as the ABC, but let's pretend like you do. Yeah.
No, sure. Look, it's a good start. It's a good start. It's a nice little platform. Thank you, Mick.
No worries.
Okay, so yes, the 2023 Women's World Cup will be played here in Australia. The first game, the opening game, gets played
in New Zealand
at.
Yeah.
Wellington Stadium. I can't remember. Eden Park.
Eden Park's in Auckland.
So it's in Auckland.
You probably know.
And then the final will be played in Sydney at Stadium Australia. There's, as Mick said in the quiz, 32 teams playing across eight groups, and qualification games should hopefully start next year, but obviously, Australia and New Zealand both qualify automatically.
Well, I've got your tea.
New Zealand doesn't have a great soccer team, so.
I'm going to say to you, New Zealand have not yet won a World Cup game at all. Not won one. So will they win a game in the World Cup in 2023?
Yes.
Sure.
You're not willing to commit.
Get in early.
Oh, that's all. 3 years away. Sure. You've got to be confident.
Because I've had some dealings in my sportings with some of the soccer girls. I went to World Uni Games and there was some humble brag. The soccer team wasn't allowed to come back because they were so bad. So, I mean, that was a good few years ago now. Let's assume that there's a chance. And that was a lot lower level. But I would like to think that they'll pump some money into it now. I've been curious to see what the participation numbers are, actually, over there for soccer. Because we've got, obviously, we've got strong rugby and cricket teams. So let me come back to you in a year's time and I'll answer that question properly.
Well, we're due to have you on in a year anyway, so.
Give me a year. Well, no better.
Mick, while we're talking about soccer, I believe Liverpool have done okay.
Last Friday was seriously such a great day.
It was the best day of one of the best mornings because I woke up not expecting Man City to lose to Chelsea and they lost. So Liverpool won and it was just like a weird feeling because I was just buzzing. I was just like, whoa, this is 30 years since Liverpool had won. It was just like I was on a huge high all day. It was amazing. I'm so excited. I wish I'd been in Liverpool to trash the city afterwards as all the fans did. It was pretty amazing. There's flares everywhere.
On fire? What's a building on fire?
Probably. I mean, they went crazy. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of COVID spike in Liverpool now too. But it was huge. And when you haven't won for 30 years, just let loose, eh?
It's pretty exciting. So you're coming up. It's all coming up all Mick, isn't it? You got Parramatta on top of the table. Liverpool won. Going to have the Women's World Cup here for soccer. This is all good.
It's the irony of such a crappy year, and now my sporting teams are actually going well, so I don't know how to deal with it.
And it's going to be the year that everyone goes, oh, we're not going to count that year. Really, it didn't really count, did it?
Exactly.
No, it's true. I say it every week. Asterisks.
Yeah.
Yep. Asterisks.
Yep.
Asterisks.
I'm going to start saying that too. Asterisks.
I'll say obelix.
Asterisks.
You'll say what? Obelix.
Obelix, you
isn't
know?
That a cartoon?
Is that from Asterix the cartoon?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my god, come on. I'm old. Oh my god.
Are we too young for that? We're too young for that, Joel. We're too young.
My birthday today.
How old in one day? Are you gonna reveal?
How old am I today?
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Remember? In A-League news while we're still on soccer. I think we've mentioned already that it does start July 16th, so a couple of weeks. Games ended back in March, but I think now players have got a lot more clarity because the fixtures for the remainder of the season have been announced. Obviously they're subject to change because I think like six stadiums through New South Wales and Queensland are being used, but obviously as borders open, more places will be eligible to be used. But for now, we know that they're starting 16th of July and the final start in August. It's going to be crazy. 27 games over 28 days. Yeah, it's a lot of soccer.
How many? It's like three. How many games a week or something? Like it's heaps of nights, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just going to be a lot of soccer.
What are they doing with Melbourne then? Melbourne, considering that Melbourne's pretty much going to be shut, or Victoria's going to be shut down.
I think they move to either New South Wales or Queensland for the remainder.
Obviously. Oh, so the teams are going to move.
Yeah.
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 Oh.
All right, we got time for a really quick game. Here we go.
We never talk about the AFL, Rouge.
Cocktail or pony? I didn't get that out.
Cocktail or pony, I love this.
Okay, we've only got time for one, I think. Red rum. Is red rum a fruity cocktail that uses both dark and light rum, pineapple juice, lime, and a splash of grenadine? Or a champion thoroughbred steeplechaser who achieved an unmatched historic treble when he won the Grand National in 1973, 74, and 77.
Such detail. It's got to be the horse.
I thought it was the Melbourne Cup winner, but it's a horse.
Red rum. Surely the giveaway is the name. Oh, yeah, no, all right, it's a horse. Well done.
Thank you. Horse. Can we have one more? One more quick one? Go.
Okay. Seattle Slew. A drink that mixes brandy, lemon, and triple sec. Or an American thoroughbred racehorse who won the Triple Crown in 1977.
Sounds like a not very nice drink, but it's a drink, right?
Mick?
Yeah, drink.
Drink.
It's a horse.
Ah, good, because that sounds like an awful drink.
It is a drink. That's the end of the show. Thank you so much for coming on. Mick, thank you so much.
Sorry for taking over.
Gabby, she's sick. Gabby, hi, Gab. Oh, love you.
Hi, Gab.
didn't even mention her. I forgot about her. Love you, Gab.
That's rude.
I know, horrible. Okay, bye,
Happy birthday, Joel. Happy birthday. Thank you.
Bye. Yes, good evening and welcome to One Last Thing, 2SER's very own low-budget tonight show on a Friday night. I'm Mitch Byatt, taking you through to the weekend. Let's do one last thing together. Tonight on the show, the old mate take, the biggest stories of the week with newshound Murray Olds. Going to be dipping into the future as well with Tom Roach, our future correspondent. And the segment, you haven't heard of them. Give Billy a fake band and a fake song. He has 1 week to turn it around. This week, we'll be hearing what he has crafted for the UK dubstep act, Billiseconds, with their smash hit Super Max Life. Plenty of great tunes from 2SER 107.3 as well. Let's get into it. You're on 2SER. You are a One Last Thing on 2SER 107.3 for your Friday evening. And one last thing we should do is have a look at just what the biggest stories of the week were with the old mate take. And Murray Olds joins us. How you doing, Murray?
Mitch, very good evening to you. Yeah, look, it's pretty good. I mean, look, coronavirus, we're all over that like a frat boy and a smarty. So Victoria's bugging things up. Hopeless down there, the Mexicans.
Yeah, this. What's been interesting about this so far, we've had a real nice warm and fuzzy stuff. We're all in this together. Let's all work together to beat this thing. And all of a sudden, out come the dole bludgers and out come the people bludging and, you know, going, you don't want to get a job, you know, eat off welfare. Where did all this come from? I don't understand what went wrong.
I think what the government is trying to do here, this is the speech this week by Scott Morrison. He had a couple of big speeches. The other one's defence. We'll look at that in a moment. But this week, the government clearly is softening up Australia for when JobKeeper and JobSeeker come to an end, supposedly in September. Now, there's not a single economist thinks that's going to happen abruptly. It'll just drive Australia straight off a cliff. But, and it's a pretty big but, you know what's driving this right-wing government. There are people in that government who think any dole is dreadful. Yeah. You know, the best unemployment benefit is a job. Well, stop spouting that crap, boys and girls, because it's just not reality in 2020 in this COVID environment, Mitch.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there aren't really many jobs either. I'd be really impressed to see them go down to Centrelink with those massive lines we saw at the start of this and start calling them dull bludgers. Like, it's pretty aggressive, I thought.
Mitch, I thought exactly the same thing when I heard Morrison spouting those lines. And look, for me, it's all bullshit. It's simply him throwing a bit of red meat to his base, his right wing. Because here's the thing. Job Seeker is the rebadged dole. Previously, we all know $40 a day. Well, what the heck can anyone do? You're trying to get a job. You have to look presentable. You're going to get a new shirt or wear the same old T-shirt you had on last week. You have to be able to survive and thrive on an unemployment benefit that is designed to get you, in a position to get a job. And no one's denying that. No one's saying it's got to be $1,000 a day. But heavens above, $40 a day is bullshit. Pre-COVID, no way was ScoMo going to be moving and the government was going to be moving. Along comes coronavirus and they're obliged to crank it up. But then, you know, the extraordinary measures to match the times, fine. But for him to say this week, here's the quote. I'm just looking for it now. We're getting a lot of anecdotal feedback from business that many are finding it hard to get shifts. This is people who come along and do the shifts because they don't need the money. They're already on higher levels of payment. I mean, that's just BS. No one's having fun right now, Mitch. No one.
No, that's right.
And for him to say that, I think it's absolute crap. It's not fair. And what it does is demonise these people. You're sitting on your ass in front of the, you know, watching Netflix because taxpayers are propping you up. No. Yes, it's going to happen in a few cases. Of course it is. Might be you and me in times gone by. But right. In the here and now, 99% of people want to get off that sofa, Mitch, and start working again. That's what they want.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of money, the other big one this week was, I think it was $270 billion for defence. So ScoMo's talking about, you know, these are very uncertain times we're walking into post-COVID, so we need to arm ourselves to the teeth with some big fancy missiles. What was your take on that?
Yeah, I think it sounds like a big number, doesn't it? $270 billion, but it's over 10 years. So $27 billion a year over 10 years. I think that's kind of within the realms of Australia currently spending about 2% of GDP on defence every year. Trump would like us to spend more. He'd like everyone to spend more because America's doing all the heavy lifting, which is BS in itself. But it is a changing world. $270 billion they want to acquire, as you mentioned, long-range missiles. They want to acquire, a whole lot more cyber capability, and that's, you know, exceptionally in these troubled times. They also want to have some underwater surveillance, and given we're an island continent, that makes a lot of sense as well. So yeah, it's a pretty impressive shopping list. The long range missiles scared the tripe out of me, I must say. Bloody hell, we're going to be sitting there lobbing missiles on China from Darwin, are we? I don't think it would last too long, and it wouldn't be all that happy at the ending. But when you contrast that $270 billion spend, for example, the new submarine fleet we're buying from France, now that is $80 billion, just for starters. And you can say basically double that by the time you put on all the maintenance and the ongoing servicing that's going to be required. For 12 submarines, again, get back to the point, Australia's an island continent. Yes, we need subs. But do we need those subs? They're hideously expensive. The French are just whacking us up the blurter. And the thing is, we shouldn't have got with that. We should not have gone down the French path, certainly not conventional powered submarines. All this nonsense with the French, they're arguing over how much is going to be built in Australia. Are we going to have the dunny seats made in Australia, for God's sake? It's just ridiculous. This year, don't forget, the Auditor General this year, he found that $400 million has already been spent. We haven't got a submarine yet. We won't get the first one for about a decade. The rest of them coming in about mid-century. So the Auditor General found $400 million of our money has been spent, but the Defence Department couldn't properly account for where that money has gone. $400 million.
Where's it? So like lunches and stuff? Where did it go?
A lot of lattes in there, buddy. Makes no sense to anybody. So, look, there's a big problem there. And before we go, don't forget, they can't find a sufficiently well-trained Navy people to crew the submarines that we've got now. Where are we going to, I suppose in the next 40 years when they're going to be delivering these things, we can train up a few more crews. But heavens above, it just smells of another dud deal done by people in high office with no regard. But it's not their money they're spending, it's ours.
It's a bit of a money splash. There you go. Murray Oles, the old mate take for the biggest stories in the week. Thank you very much, sir.
Pleasure me on, mate.
You are attuned to One Last Thing on your Friday night here on 2SER 107.3 with me, Mitch. I hope you get up for a fantastic weekend. But of course, one of the one last things we should do this week is check in with our future correspondent, Tom Roachy Roach. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
G'day, Mitchy. Not too bad, thanks, mate. Just getting through the week, as we all are.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I wanted just last week I kind of apologized in some ways for not fully believing you, but I think this week's events since your 2030 vision have only become more interesting because we've seen a really interesting story this week between Putin and Trump around a bounty with US soldiers. So, you know, not that anyone should, but no one should be doubting your ability to time travel from now on, I think.
Oh, look, it's fact. Everything I say is fact, Mitch, and it should never be doubted. So we are seeing that come to life. I've been to the wedding, and we will see that unfold over the years to come.
Okay. All right. So as I mentioned last week, you're in the year 2030. How far into the future are we going this time?
Oh, well, Mitch, do you remember jet lag?
Yep.
You know that feeling?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, you know, long flights. You feel kind of dirty, tired, you're pretty miserable. Well, time travel's pretty similar to that, mate. And 2SER, I mean, God bless them, but geez, they have been sending me to different decades, millennia, you name it. They're sending me all over the time traveling world, and I'm buggered. I am really tired. I have to go through global time travel customs. You know, border security is ramped up. I mean, except for 2048, they kind of went lax there. But generally speaking, I'm just exhausted. So this week I've just kind of taken a short trip to Saturday, so tomorrow. And really it's all about getting some R&R. I need to reward my hard work, you know, take a bit of time for me, take a bit of time for my grueling time traveling. So I'll be previewing my new travel segment this week, which is come with me.
hang on. So it sounds like there's some kind of workers' compensation claim in the works, or you want some kind of leave. You've been doing this for 3 weeks and you're already complaining about the job. What's going on here?
Oh, well, Mitch, you just don't understand. Like, time travel, this isn't a thing for everyone, and it really takes it out of you. So, you know, I'm now going to take my work the way that I want to do it. I'm not going to be bossed around by the big wigs at 2SER telling me to go, you know, 2030, Donald Trump's wedding. I mean, seriously, I really just want to take a bit of time for myself, but keep the listeners entertained. I'm still going to take them on that journey, aren't I? So I'm going to tell them, you know, what I'm getting up to on Saturday, where I am now, which is just a bit of a travel,
yep.
Some travel tips. A travel segment, if you will.
Okay.
So, Mitch.
So, instead of time travel tips, this is just a travel tip for tomorrow.
Well, it's not really travel tips. I'm just going to, you know, talk about an experience that I'm having at the moment that people might want to get involved with. I doubt it after they hear about it, but it's worth a listen.
Please go on.
Okay. So, come with me. Travel tips to help you release. So, Mitch, this week I'm at a nudist colony at the foothills of the New South Wales Blue Mountains. It's called Nudie Rudy's. A good friend of ours, actually, Marissa, recommended I join her and her family there this week. They go quite regularly. I thought, well, I may as well try it out. I'm looking for a bit of relaxation, and it sounds beautiful the way that she describes it. But, Mitch, here's a fun fact for you. Do you know why they're called the Blue Mountains?
It's something to do with the light on the mountain or something. I'm not a big science guy, as you probably can imagine.
Absolutely not. No. Yeah, and you're wrong. Because it is so bloody cold here that your bits turn blue. I mean, I've made a terrible mistake. My major Tom is as good as gone. I'm freezing. It hurts. Have you ever been below zero with no clothes on?
I can't say
it's,
I have.
It's terrible. It is absolutely terrible. I thought time travel was bad. Oh. So, you know, the activities here involve, you know, standing close to a fire, but not too close, as I've learned. You know, chopping wood for those with a risky streak, hide and seek with your male appendage and other activities like that. I have never experienced anything like this. But, you know, what this has really made me realise is that, you know, you really start to appreciate the things you hate when you have to go naked in below zero. And so I think my tip for all of our listeners today is, you know, time travel jet lag, it's bad. It's hard work. But when you're looking for a time to relax, keep your clothes on. Don't go below zero. And just keep doing what you're doing.
There you go. Well, there's a tip there for, I guess, for tomorrow. And I love how this has morphed now into a travel/nudist assistant segment. So for anyone heading up the Blue Mountains to Rudy Nudies, I think it was called, there you go. Pack some extra mittens, I guess, body mittens. Yes. But future correspondent, I'm glad you sort of just, and look after yourself, Tom. That's quite important as well. We do need you for future episodes.
Well, of course you'll need me for future episodes, Mitch. That's what I do. Thanks for having me again. And I'll be back next week with some more time travel, I imagine.
Working on a groove, baby. Working.
You are on One Last Thing, your Friday night budget tonight show here on 2SER 107.3 with me, Mitch Byatt. Hope you're doing really well. Now, the very last thing we do on One Last Thing is touch base with our friend Billy for the segment You Haven't Heard of Them. Now, I give Billy the challenge of coming up with a song. I give him a fake band and a fake song every week, and he has a week to actually produce something. How are you this evening, Billy?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Not too bad. You conquered punk rock. You've done that with Low Fat Poison. This time around, I gave you the challenge of taking on the formidable genre known as UK dubstep, and I gave you the band Billy Seconds.
Yeah, man, it was. I had fun with it. It was a bit of a challenge because I don't listen to that kind of music recreationally, really. But I did lots of listening. I did lots of listening to the Ali G soundtrack, and I sort of thought I was trying to think who would the number one fan of Billy Seconds be. And there were these, when I lived in Surrey Hills, there were these two guys I used to see hanging around the shopping centre all the time. And they kind of dressed like UK chavs, you know, like bum bags and Adidas tracksuits. And I used to see them in the car park just blasting drum and bass, like the windows were shaking kind of thing. And these guys were probably mid-40s, I think. And so I basically wrote this song. I wrote this song for those two guys.
Now, were you scared of them, or were you intimidated by them at all, or more just laugh behind their back?
Well, I just wanted to know their story, but I don't know what they were doing. They would just kind of, they would sort of stand around and not do anything, but just there was the suggestion that they could do something.
The power of UK dubstep.
That's
okay,
right.
So we've got Billy Seconds with Supermax Life. We're going to give it a spin for you right now here on One Last Thing. This is, you haven't heard of them. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, mate, here we go.
Oh, that's ringing.
It's fucking lyrical madness.
All right, sir.
It's fucking lyrical madness.
Understand me,
sir.
Oh, that's ringing. Wow. Just wow. That was incredible. Did you, is that your voice on there? Is that you saying that? Those things?
No, those horrible things. No, I tried to record them myself, and I couldn't do it justice. They sounded awful. No amount of like effect wizardry would fix it. So I just, you know, I turned to the trusty internet, and I just found some clips.
Not only does it sound like it could be like soundtracking, you know, a Bristol nightclub, you know, from 10 years ago, it also sounds like you could be on like a FIFA video game or something. That's how real that sounded.
Yeah. I just like to imagine those two like 45-year-old men just driving around just yelling that stuff to each other.
Well, of course they would be. They would be definitely 2SER listeners for sure. That was so good.
100%.
Billy Seconds, yeah. Supermax Life, absolutely coming to an R&B club near you. That was too good. But Billy, that's only the half the job, because and I've got to give you a new band, a new song this time around. So as I said, we've conquered punk rock. We've just done UK dubstep. I'm going in a completely different direction now. Do you want to hear the sort of the genre, or do you want to give you the band name first? How do you want to do this?
How about you give me the band name and I'll try and guess the genre.
Okay. So the band name is The Manky Hankies.
Yeah, that's disgusting sounding. I reckon it could be like a 60s kind of psychedelic kind of British invasion type thing. How close am I?
You are 100% correct. I was going like floral hippie 60s. Woodstock kind of thing. That would have been one of the tiny names who played Woodstock back in the 60s. So the Manky Hankies, right? And I want their song to be Give a Little Love.
Give a Little Love. Okay, perfect.
So be like, give a little love, girl, something like that.
I'm into it. I've got some things cooking already.
With like an acoustic guitar and maybe a yellow skivvy or something like that. I'm going big with the Manky Hankies. They're definitely, you know, our parents are conceived of them, I think, for sure.
yeah, this is right up your alley, this kind of music as well. So I've got a high mountain to climb.
Okay, there you go. You have 1 week to turn around the Manky Hankies, Give a Little Love, and you haven't heard of them, Billy. Jungle is massive. That was absolutely huge. Billy Second Supermax Life. Thank you so much, man. I will hear from you next week.
Booyakasha. Thank you very much, Mitch.
So much.
Yay!
Thanks to your generosity, we've raised the $30,000 required to replace our antenna. We couldn't have done it without you.
You're goddamn right.
But you can still make a tax-deductible donation at 2SCR.com before June 30 to help with the many costs of keeping 2SCR on air.
There we go. That is the show for this week. Thanks for doing one last thing together for the week. My name is Mitch Byatt. Big thanks to Murray Olds for his old mate take a look at the news, for Tom Roach for going all the way into the future of tomorrow, and of course Billy for You Haven't Heard of Them, Billy Second's UK dubstep classic, Supermax Live. Take care of yourself. Have a great weekend. I'll see you next week. Be good.
Follow your fingers, kick your heels up.
You're on 2SER.